You're listening to the Concordant Podcast. I'm your host, Cédric Galland. This week, the news section is taking over with their show called Concordia for Dummies, where they take a topic related to Concordia and its systems, and they try to break it down for you. And later this week, something somewhat important is coming up, and that's the provincial elections. So our news directors, Lucas March, Hannah Tjunksen, and Simon Fournet, all got together around a table and debated on important topics that they think should matter in this election. First off, though, let's talk about this week's news coverage by the Concordian. The CSU reassembles for the first council meeting of the fall semester, and Concordia's path towards decolonizing itself. Those articles can be found on theconcordian.com. I personally went to Joyce Echaquan's commemoration earlier this week, and here's part of a speech by the organizer.
I would like to thank Carole Dubé and Joyce Echaquan's family for accompanying us tonight. Like I mentioned earlier, there is a vigil happening in Manawan at the same time. And while the family could not be in Montreal tonight because they're commemorating in Manawan, they're very much here in spirit, and we send our thoughts and our love to them. So thank you for your courage. Thank you for your persistence. Thank you for fighting for justice and to continue to denounce systemic racism and to fight for Joyce's principle.
Friday was the second National Truth and Reconciliation Day, and I was able to have a conversation with Ganesadage activist Ellen Gabriel, who spoke about the purpose of this day.
So I think it's important to allow Indigenous people to lead when it comes to telling these kinds of stories, but to listen, to be comfortable in the uncomfortableness of the discussion, because it will be difficult for both sides, but that what we need is for reconciliation to be initiated by the other side, because it's usually the party that has harmed that begins that process of reconciliation, reparations, and restitution.
Also got the chance to speak with the director of the Native Women's Shelter, Naguset, who spoke about serious action needing to be taken.
So last year when I did the first march, I said, for this year, I want people to hand out subpoenas. No subpoenas. Like, people need to go to court for what happened with those mass graves. People need to, you know, testify about who decided what they were going to do. Somebody decided to dig that grave. Someone decided to put a child in there. Someone decided that they were going to not tell a family. Like, there's a whole group of the government and the churches and the people that actually worked at the schools that were all involved in this, and it was all hidden. And that's why I think this truth needs to come out. And if we actually hear the truth and change the history, that will bring some kind of comfort to the people, because we don't actually get any accountability.
The complete audio report will be coming with a full article next week. All right, elections are coming up, and we're all being bombarded with conflicting statements from rival parties as they're all trying to get your vote, right? But the Concordian's news team sat together and tried to point out some important topics for you, and both me and our editor-in-chief, Gabriel Gwindi, fired questions at them, and it went a bit like this.
The first question I want to ask you guys is, what policies should be at the forefront of the party's mind when they come into power in this day and age?
I'm thinking environment, really. Like, I've talked to a couple of the... That's a small party, the Green Party of Quebec, and not many people knows it exists, but it's like I've talked to a couple of candidates. And actually, this is like they're really trying to push like the environmental issues, like try to make a public transit free for all everywhere in Quebec, and just like reduce carbon footprint like really, really like as fast as possible to just like push back the environmental crisis like as far as we can. So I think that's like, and Quebec Solidaire has also like this sort of like thing in the forefront of their I guess their program, which I really like.
It's funny you mentioned the free public transit, because that also plays into what I think should be front and center, which is the economy and also helping people cope with the rising cost of living. Because if you provide better options and better, in my experience, better options for them to cope with the increase in cost of living, then that also has a snowball effect with the environment. So if you do provide free public transit, it's going to encourage people not to take cars. And then that will also decrease the environment.
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing. I also feel like the cost of living situation, like I feel like like the Liberals and like I guess the PQ and the CAQ, like they are trying to like, I guess, help people like face inflation. But I do feel like their ideas are sort of like a band-aid solution, you know, like it's not like long-term, like I guess long-term solutions we could implement like into the system and like to make people just like have a better like better
That's
life overall,
true.
You know?
Yeah. I like the way you said that, the band-aid effect.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it is.
It's like the wound is still there. Yeah. It's like they're just like putting a plaster on it and like just waiting and like
yeah,
waiting
like $600 this year.
Yeah.
But it's like long-term, there's going to need some structural changes in order to address the issues that are causing this.
Yeah. And it's like the cost of living is like rising, but the like, I guess, like our incomes aren't.
Yeah.
So another question quick. Do you believe that some political ambitions of certain parties are fiscally responsible?
That's a good question.
If you want, I could give you some preamble. So, for example, Quebec Solidaire wants to initiate a plan where they buy around 10,000 properties and sell them at a 20% loss to people. So where do we get that money? Is it fiscally responsible? And are these ambitions just overly ambitious?
I don't think they're overly ambitious. I just don't think they're in the right. I don't think they're just centering the right issues economically, I think.
I think that's selling the houses at a loss. I feel like that is also economically unfeasible or financially unresponsible to a degree, because that is also the taxpayers' money that's going towards buying these properties and then selling them for a loss. It's not creating more affordable housing. It's a buying a product that's going to be sold at a loss, presumably on the taxpayers' dime. And it seems to me that that is not a, like, it's almost like a band-aid effect. Where that funding could also go towards constructing more affordable housing and providing long-term solutions than just buying houses and then selling them at a loss.
And Hannah, before the debate, talked about immigration. And I wanted to bring up the topic of immigration in Quebec. It's a huge topic, and I wanted to know your opinions on how the discussion has been going so far in terms of immigration.
Yeah, well, I agree what you guys were saying about the environment being important, but for me as an immigrant, I think the core, like the issue that should be focused on is immigration right now, and making it more accessible for immigrants to come to Canada in, I guess in a smoother way for them not to assimilate, but to adapt into Quebec, especially with all these bills with the language, and make it really hard for immigrants not only to settle to come here, but to want to come to Quebec. I think, Canada is such a multicultural country, but then you come to Quebec and you have all these, well, you have like François Legault, who first of all denies systemic racism, but also wants to prevent immigrants to come to Quebec. And yeah, I think that's a big issue because again, like Quebec is part of Canada and we want to be like an open province. But I feel like with some of these parties, I don't feel like immigrants could feel welcomed in our province. So I think that should be the forefront conversation.
I would really like to hear Simon's opinion on this since he is also an immigrant and a French-speaking immigrant. So,
oh, right. Of course. Yeah.
Honestly, I'm so confused about the CAC and like all of those like Quebecois parties because I'm like, as an immigrant, like I'm white, I'm French, like I got all of the privileges coming to Quebec. Like they love me. They want more of me, more of us. They're like, just come guys. And it's like, and even then it was like hard, like immigrating is still hard. So I can't even begin to imagine what it's like when I'm like, you're not a Francophone, you're not a white immigrant. You're like from a country that has like very like, I guess, like weak passport, you know, like where you can't just like go wherever you want and just travel the world. So it's like, even for me, it's hard. So it's like, I can't even imagine what it's like for like immigrants who don't have like a lot of money, who don't speak French, who might not even speak English. It's like, yeah, I feel like Canada is just making it really, really hard for immigrants to like settle in.
And also with sorry to cut you, with everything going on around the world, you want to welcome these immigrants, you want to be open. And like earlier this year when what's happening in Ukraine and having these people being forced to speak a language and learn it within like 6 months of arrival, I think that's crazy. You know, that there are other problems going on in their head other than just, you know, a language.
Well, something I've always noticed, especially being the son of an immigrant in Canada, is that when it comes to immigration, there is a racial connotation towards it, where it's always like when like the recent CAC representative who spoke very derogatory march towards immigrants, it always feels to me as if like, well, I'm the son of an immigrant. How do you still feel the same way towards me? Or is it just because of these other person's race? Like, just because I'm white and Anglo doesn't make me any less of an immigrant than anyone else from any other racial background. So for me, it always had that racial connotation towards it.
And as a final question here, to wrap everything up that we talked about here, what would be some advice or some considerations that you'd like to give to students who are listening to the podcast coming into the elections?
I think like read up on the party's programs, just like educate yourself, read as much as you can, and just like try to make the least worst decision with all of the options you have.
I would also agree with Simon's remarks about educating yourself. Especially even if you are an international student or a student that's out of province who can't vote, this election will affect you. And if you want to make your life here, it will affect you by the choices and the policies that are implemented in the coming years towards English language, immigration, all those aspects will affect your life. So it's better to be aware than ignorant.
Yeah, like Simon said, just educate yourself and take time to read about all the different issues and their stance on these issues, and not only think about yourself, but also think about the general public and what would benefit everyone and not just yourself.
This wraps it up for this week. Special thanks to the news team, Hannah Tjongson, Lucas March, and Simon Fournet for leading the panel. Credits to Gabriel Gwindi as well for taking care of the soundboard with me. And you've been listening to the Concordant Podcast. And I will see you next week. See ya.